And just hang on to that for a second, because we're gonna need that in a minute, but not yet. And I can't tell you what verse, because that would allow you to cheat. Okay, so you'll find out in just a minute what we're doing. Oops, I better switch. Can't really preach on girls' basketball. Well, I could. We've been studying on Sundays foundational truths for understanding Scripture, and it's a series of messages that I want to do. And the Sunday messages are more targeted to people who are really fresh into biblical Christianity. So I just really don't know. And this week, I'm going to explain Sunday morning just the layout of the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament, and do a couple of things that are just really elementary, because I know that when I got saved, I wouldn't have understood any of that, and didn't until I went to Bible college, and probably even after that, before I figured out what was going on in the Bible. And so we're going to do some really elementary things on Sunday that I think are very practical things. But on Wednesday night, we have the intellectual crowd. Yeah. So we're going to take a little more time, and we're going to go a little more deeply into something that is interesting. I find it very interesting. I think you will. I love that, you know, I get to sit around and study the Bible, and I get paid for it. And it's a fun thing to do. So I get into these things and enjoy them. And one of these, I'll tell you in a minute, I was reading on and could have read a lot more, but kind of ran out of time. And it's an inexhaustible and unanswerable question. As we look at the foundational truths, what we were looking at Sunday was this aspect of it, that people doubt God's revelation of Himself, that God has revealed Himself to us. People doubt that. That's not really true. Well, yes, it is. And there were a couple of things that we've already established using Genesis 1, verse 1. We recognize that God exists, and then we recognize that God exists apart from man. And remember, the two main truths about that are that God can exist without us. We can't exist without God. So we're totally dependent upon Him, and that's how you need to see God. Now, here's another thing that really, it spoke to my heart several years ago when I thought of this. God communicates. When you read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1 is not only the first verse of the Bible, but it is a declaration of God's existence. It's also the beginning of God's dialogue with man. God starts talking to us in the Bible in Genesis 1:1. He says, I want you to know who I am. And the point is that God is not trying to keep His existence a secret. Many times you get the idea that people say, man, if we could just know God existed. God is not trying to keep His existence a secret. Now, He may not be displaying it the way you would like for Him to display it. But He is not trying to keep His existence a secret. As a matter of fact, we've looked at a couple of things. There is, first of all, general revelation. And in general revelation, we looked at the psalm, or talked about the psalm, the heavens declare the glory of God, just mankind himself and the intelligent design. A lot of things that you can look at and say there's general revelation that there is a God. And then we've gone to this point that we looked at special revelation. And when we looked at special revelation, we asked the question, what are the methods of special revelation? And we zeroed in on only one of those on Sunday. It's the one that we're going to come back to Sunday, and that is the Bible. The Bible is an example of special revelation. By special, we mean it's particular. It's God very specifically saying, I want to communicate with you. And we have to realize that the Bible is God's preservation of His words for us. And so He gives us what He wants us to know. But let me ask you this question. Are there any other methods? And this is where I'm glad we have the intellectual crowd on Wednesday night. You know your Bible perfectly. Are there any other methods of special revelation in the Bible? In other words, are there any other ways that God just clearly demonstrated He existed and He revealed Himself to people throughout history? Now, the Bible records them, but what are some of those? Joe?
Well,
All right, the flood, yeah. We're going to put that under events, okay? There are events in the Bible, okay? Lisa? Yeah. Yeah, the whole Exodus account and everything that happened. And again, I'm going to take all of that and put it under events. That God displayed himself in events. All right, Michael?
The book of Revelation.
Okay, prophecy. All right, yeah. And we can actually go back through the history of Scripture and say there is prophecy. I didn't actually include that in my list, but we could make a strong case for that. Okay, good. Mark? Hey, there you go. How about dreams? Yeah. All the way through the Bible, you have God using dreams. Okay, so there's one. Okay, burning bush. I'm going to put that as an event, I think. Yeah, I think that would be an event. But that's good. I like it. So you get a check mark. Okay. All right. Dreams. Let me add one more. Dreams and... Okay, interpretations. Yeah, we could actually put that. But somebody else said visions. Dreams and visions. All right, we're going to come to those. All right. Christy. Oh, Christy. Specifically, what are you thinking of there? Okay? Yeah, you have a couple of times in the New Testament where you have God's voice actually coming. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Again, when he talked to Peter, he said, hey, shut up, listen. That wasn't exactly the King James terminology. But yeah, God's voice. I didn't include that in my list, but God did speak from heaven. He actually, in a special revelation, spoke to people. All right, you're doing well. Looking for a couple of others. Valerie? Yeah, a donkey. I don't know, we might put that under an event. That's somewhere in the middle. Yeah. Okay. Kind of like the burning bush, you know. Yeah, all right. Yeah, you get a check mark. We'll give you that. All right. Okay, good. Kelly? Okay, miracles. Yeah, and those events, yeah, we'll take those as... I would put miracles down as one, although I didn't include it in my list tonight, but I would include miracles as a special revelation of himself because he suspended some kind of natural law in order to reveal himself. Okay? Creation? Yeah. Okay? Kevin? Yeah. What about prophets? Yeah. He actually speaks through people. And they claim to be speaking for God. Michael? Okay. Yeah, the fulfillment. Yeah, and we put that probably with prophecy, the fulfillment of prophecy. Let me try to guide you into one. It's going to be one of the first two that we look at. In the Old Testament, sometimes they had to make decisions about things. What did they use, Mark? Yeah, Urim and Thummim. Yeah, and I don't know whether that's Thummim, Tumim. So we'll pronounce it two or three ways tonight, and then you figure out what you want. I think my Bible is wanting me to say Thummim. It has punctuation marks, but I'm not real sure. But Urim and Thummim. Yeah. All right, what else with that? Yeah, casting lots. Now, there's something that's interesting. Let's take that one first, because this is one of the ways, when we think about special revelation, look at Proverbs 16, verse 33. It says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The New American Standard finishes that second part by saying, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Here's Solomon giving us a proverb, and he says, you use lots, and we cast it into the lap. But the decision comes from God. This is him directly attributing God to giving communication, giving some answer through the casting of lots. What was a lot? That's what, yeah, I normally, Joe did it all too well, you know. Yeah, looked way too practiced there. Monopoly, that's it, yeah. Yeah, a lot. We don't really have a lot of information about the lots, but it was something similar to dice, but probably not a six-sided cube. Probably something more like a coin, or it could be flipped, or it was something that, you know, maybe a two. But they would actually use lots. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of that. You tell me first, what events do you remember where lots were used? There are actually several of them. There are a bunch of them. Yeah, the soldiers at the cross. They cast lots for Jesus' garment. Now, that probably was not in the same category that we're talking about, but that actually tells us what was happening. This was not God giving an answer, but they cast lots for it. In other words, they did something like, heads you win, tails I win. I was trying to say, heads you win, tails you lose. But it was some kind of lot. In other words, they had a drawing, you know, short straw, whatever. So that's how we know what a lot was, by what they did. Okay, what other events was there a lot used? What was it? Jonah. Did they use lots? Okay. I didn't remember that. Yeah, okay. Todd? Achan. Yeah, I actually want you to look at that one. Let me see if that's the first one I have. Yeah, Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. And to refresh your mind about the story, the children of Israel have crossed the Jordan River. And as they cross the Jordan River, they come to Jericho. They march around that the walls fall down. They move on to Ai. And Ai is such a small city that they... did I get that right? Yeah, they stole it out of Jericho. They move on to Ai. And it was such a small city, they say, look, all of us don't need to go up. So they send a small group up, and they are thoroughly defeated. 30-some people are killed. And so when they come back, they're all discouraged, and, oh, Joshua, we're just going to kill you. And you always love the response of the... it's still that way today, but, you know, you blame people. But they came back, and God said, quit whining, there's sin in the camp. And so they line everybody up by family, and they start narrowing this down. Go to chapter 7, verse 14. And in the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he has, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerites. And he brought the family of the Zerites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And they brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now, how did they determine that? It was lots. Now, this is one of those, we don't know exactly how they did it. It doesn't describe it. I don't know if they put all of the tribes on a rock and put them into a bag and said, okay, pull it out. I don't know if they threw them on the ground and somehow figured that out. I have no idea. But somehow God spoke through these things. This is God giving direction, specific direction to people. You don't want to mess this up. Somebody's going to die here. And sure enough, what verifies that God does use lots or did use lots at this time, as Solomon will later say, the answer is from the Lord. This is verification of that. This is God saying, I'm going to use this method of special revelation to show you I do exist and that I can point out the sin in the camp. And this was an incredible tool that they would use. Now, I want you to look at one, and actually, I don't know that we're going to look at this because I don't want to get bogged down in the events. I want to just see the special revelation. What happened in Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 26? How was a lot used? Which disciple? Yeah. I think his name was Judas. Yeah. You have a cup with him on it. Okay. I'm not coming to your house. Yeah. Judas had betrayed the Lord, and as they sat down, they looked at the Scripture and felt that the Scripture told them we need to pick a new one. And so they came down to two guys, and they chose between the two by casting lots. It's really interesting. They felt this was how the Lord was going to speak. And He uses that. Where else can you think of in the Old Testament that they used lots? Any other places? There actually are a lot of lots. Yeah. If you go through and start studying them, you'll find that there are a number of places that God uses that method to give an answer to people. Mark mentioned the other one, and this is in the same category. This is the one that I was reading on today, and everybody acknowledges we don't know what this was. We don't know how this worked. But this is in the same category. Let's look at Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28, and in that we're in the middle of God's direction and the law and the court of the tabernacle and how to put everything together. And he's talking about the priest and how the priest is accessorized. And as you come to chapter 28, go to verse 2. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. I always enjoy reading about this Old Testament compilation of things, because this is God saying, here's how you're going to worship me. And the high priest is to look like this. And the high priest is to do this. And a lot of times we look at worship and we think, oh, God is God, but I worship Him however I want. That theme does not run through the Old Testament. If anything, that theme is destroyed in the Old Testament. But God determines how we worship Him. And with the priest, He said, here's very specifically what he's to wear, and here's how he is to approach me. And part of his garment was a breastplate. And do you remember what was on that breastplate? How's your Old Testament priestly law garment knowledge? There were 12 of... 12 stones, precious stones. The names of the 12 tribes were inscribed on them, or they represented the 12 tribes. We don't know exactly how they did that. But on this breastplate, there was an indication that he was representing all 12 of the tribes. Now, go to verse 30 in chapter 28. He bears the name of the children of Israel upon the breastplate, upon his heart, when he goes into the holy place. Then verse 30, thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Here's where the Lord mentions this Urim and Thummim. And he does not describe them very much. We don't know much about it. And when you read, if somebody says, here's exactly what they are, they don't know that. Somebody who's honestly studying this will say, we really don't know what it is. Here are some of the things that we know. Without going to a lot of effort, let's make our way to Numbers 27, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And he's going to mention this again. Exodus 27. Numbers 27. And as we come to verse 21, it's really the passing of the priestly line. And he shall stand, verse 21, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And as he gives him that, really here is a sense of the priest has the ability to know the Lord's will. He has the ability to know what's going to happen. Now, going over, the other one will be clear. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 14. Samuel's more of a story format. Saul goes on without Samuel, and he comes to verse 41. Chapter 14, verse 41. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. Now, the thing about that is that we know that somewhere in there, and I didn't mark it, they were counting on the Urim and Thummim there. Going over to chapter 28, verse 6. Here's Saul, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Here is an indication that even in Saul's day, they still had this Urim. Now, he doesn't mention the Thummim, but he mentions the Urim, and he connects it with the lot. So, we know that this thing was supposed to be used to find the Lord's will. Now, what else do we know about it? Well, we know that it was drawn out. In other words, if we go back, and here's the speculation, and there's a pretty good sense of this, that on that breastplate, there was a pouch in it. We don't know if the whole thing opened up, or there was a pouch on the front, but inside that pouch, there was something. Now, most people think that it was two stones, and one stone represented yes, and one stone represented no. The problem is, that doesn't answer the times when they got no answer, like this, where Saul said, the Lord didn't give me an answer from the Urim and Thummim. All right, how does that work? I don't know. Maybe there was a third stone in there that said, not telling. We don't know. But this thing clearly had the ability to give an answer, but the answer was not always obtainable. Saul said, the Lord won't answer me. And for whatever reason, he couldn't get that thing to work for him. And we don't really understand it. But it's very clear that that was the case. Now, we could spend a lot of time, and I I hope I didn't confuse you more by bringing it up than give you answers. But what's the point of this? God was giving special revelation. God is giving them a means whereby they can ask for Him directly to give them His will, to give them an answer. And He does. This is special revelation. This is not like the Bible where He listed and He gives it to us consistently, but they had the capacity to find out directly from the Creator God an answer to a question. And this was both in the Lot and then in the Urim and Thummim. It all was connected, but the Urim and Thummim was a very specific thing. Michael?
Is there any indication that the
holiness of the individual actions of the Urim and Thummim affected God, but not God's answer? Because it's Saul, and Saul has to relate to it. Yeah. Yeah, in that passage, he ends up going to a witch.
Yeah.
We have to infer that. Yeah. Yeah, we have to come to that conclusion. That God was looking at him and saying, I am not answering you. Now, why, if it's two stones that are pulled out of a pouch, I don't know how you get a no answer out of that. But yeah, definitely, that he wouldn't give an answer. So does that carry over to other things as well, that God would not give an answer on some the lots at other times? I don't know. I don't know how that works. and so these two things were definitely... the lots, the Urim and Thummim. The point is that here is God giving special revelation. How that works, I don't know. All right, let's ask a practical question. Say we're going to choose our deacons and trustees. Toward the 1st of February, middle of February, should we use that method? Should we just put all the names of the men in a bag and then? Have Kelly come up here and say, okay, draw two names out. is that still how the Lord operates?
Yeah.
We have His Word and Holy Spirit. Yeah. You don't find any place past Acts where they're using lots. And the Urim and Thummim were certainly not used anymore in the New Testament economy. So there's no indication, and this will be true with a lot of these, there's no indication whatsoever that that's still a viable method of revelation from God. That we would come to decisions and say, okay, I have two jobs, heads I'm going to take this one, tails I'm going to take this one. You can do that if you want to, but that I can't guarantee you that God is going to give you His special revelation when you do that. I would be much more inclined to have you study Scripture and realize that the Spirit living inside you, God is already present with you and wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. So the presence of God's Holy Spirit is actually of much greater weight than tossing a coin or rolling the dice. And so we have something much better, although sometimes we struggle to hear from it. But Michael asked a good question. Why can't we sometimes get God's direction in our lives, even though the Holy Spirit is living in us?
Sometimes we do, but we ignore.
There's a big part of it. We ignore it. Yeah. He is not going to guide, and I should say he's not going to answer you any more in your rebellious condition than he did Saul in his rebellious condition. And so you can trust that the Holy Spirit lives in you and you are a believer, but if you are in rebellion, He is under no obligation to answer you. Now, those are two examples, Lot's and the Urim and Thummim, that God clearly revealed Himself in a special way. Let's talk about dreams. Where do you remember in... let's do either Old or New Testament, that God used dreams... And they were clearly from Him. All right, Peter, New Testament. He's told to go to Cornelius' house. Okay? Joseph. Yeah, you have Joseph, and clearly he had two dreams that were God-ordained dreams, and it was going to be fulfilled. The cows, the kine, and the sheaves that are bowing to him, and then the moon, sun, moon, and stars bowing. Those are clearly dreams that are from God. Where else? Daniel's full of dreams. Any others? Okay, Revelation, Joseph. Yeah. Mark? Yeah, wise men. Come to the New Testament, and Joseph, several times, dreams. Yeah, and the wise men, dreams. So you've got God using dreams in a significant way. Now, Ryrie, when we're talking about dreams, he separates dreams and visions. I really don't want to get into that tonight. I'm not sure. He says in dreams the emphasis is on what is seen, and in visions it's on what is heard. I don't think you can back that up. I'm not sure tonight I really even want to separate them, but I do have them listed as two different things. You can go through Genesis 20, verses 3 and 6. That would be Jacob. Chapter 31, Jacob again. Chapters 40 and 41, Joseph. And God is clearly using dreams. Jacob, the ladder to heaven, was his dream. And God is clearly using the dreams. Joel 2:28, he talks about men having dreams and visions. And so in the dreams, you even have non-believers that have dreams that God is clearly instigating. What dreams are those? What unbelievers? Lisa? Butler, yeah. Yeah, clearly had dreams that God had orchestrated. And Joseph interpreted them. These are things that God used. All right. What other lost man, Todd? Oh, yeah. Pharaoh, that's right. Pharaoh had the dream. That's the reason that Joseph was pulled out of prison. Yeah. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar. He's the big example. Herod's wife had a dream. Now, it never says that one is directly from God, but it was accurate. Don't have anything to do with this man. so you have several places in the Bible. Genesis 20, verse 3, chapter 31, verse 24, where there are unbelievers who have dreams that God has orchestrated. I'm going to put visions up here too. And Ryrie says it's an emphasis on what is heard. I would almost put it the other way around. But there is a distinction in the Bible. I'm not sure we understand what that is. Isaiah had visions. What was his vision about in chapter 6, beginning in verse 1? Yeah, the coals. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he said the coals were brought and put on his tongue. And that's the passage where he talks about holy, holy, holy. And here are visions that he sees. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 3. Now, if we put dreams and visions together, again, my point is, God is clearly, very clearly, in special ways revealing himself. He is clearly communicating with people. Now, does God use dreams and visions the same way today, in our time? Okay, you think so? All right. All right. Anybody else? Okay, yeah, dreams and have visions. Yeah, clearly in Revelation, there's going to be a use of some of that. But I got to tell you, I am always very, very, I mean, extremely, like to the point of, I would go with Kelly to the point of like, I'll give you a thread of hope. The thing again is, we have the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit need to use dreams? No, he doesn't need to. Could he? Well, he could do whatever he wants. But we have both the Scripture and we have the Holy Spirit. The difficulty that we have with dreams and visions now, it's similar to studying miracles. When somebody claims that they are doing a miracle today, it falls far, far short of a biblical miracle. When Jesus did a miracle, there was no question. I mean, somebody didn't stand back and say, "Oh, I think he did. I don't think he did a miracle." No, a blind man can see, a lame man can walk. You have the same thing with dreams and visions. When these things were seen by people, somehow they knew it was very distinguishable from just a normal dream. This was something very unique. Michael? Oh, yeah. It's huge. And if you would ever look at dreams in the sense of, you know, I think, you know, here's a dream and I think God is trying to do something. Number one, it has to be biblical. I actually saw a video today and somebody had posted it. It was on Beth Moore. And Beth Moore had a dream. And in her dream, she dreamed that all Catholics were Christians just like everybody else. And a younger pastor's wife pointed out, that's not biblical. And Beth Moore really went after this girl. Well, the fact is, she was right. And so if you have a dream and it's not biblical, then it's not right. It's not the Lord. And so we have Scripture and we have the Holy Spirit guiding us. But there's no indication that He is using dreams as He did before. There's nothing that indicates that for us. Kelly? Well, I would be more inclined to say that's the Holy Spirit guiding your thinking. I don't know that I would put it in the category of dreams and visions, though. Because those are, when they had a dream or a vision, they specifically knew it was God. It wasn't a dream, you know, I can't even remember most of my dreams, but mine don't make much sense. You know, you do some really bizarre things in your dreams. But these were unique. Yeah, so I would agree that, you know, in the quietness of, you know, you get inspired sometimes. You wake up at 3 and you have the best idea in the world. If you don't write it down, you'll forget it. But yeah, I think that there is a sense of I've settled and the Lord can speak to me at that time. Yeah. All right. Okay. Dreams and visions. And I'm going to stop there. We have actually 4 more plus the Bible. We have 5 more plus the Bible, but one's going to be in the middle there. But here's the point. You know, this is not an in-depth study of Lot's or the Urim and Thummim, not an in-depth study of dreams and visions. What is the point? I want to make sure you get it. Special revelation. God is not trying to hide His existence. And sometimes even Christians feel like God is so hard to get hold of. The fact is that God has revealed Himself repeatedly. And all we have to do is look. And especially when we go back through the Scripture, we realize that God has in very practical ways allowed us to see that. And so we need to just take the time to look at that and let God show us that. All right, we're going to stop there and we'll hand out a prayer sheet. And then if you have any questions or comments, we'll get those as well. Lord, we thank You for the time. And again, we ask that You'll help us to sense the reality of Your presence. We know that in our time, You have promised that Your Holy Spirit actually indwells. And that means that Your presence is with us. You've promised to guide us into all truth. You've promised to direct our steps. And so I pray You'll help us to sense Your presence. And Lord, help us to be yielded to that. Lord, I pray for a clarity in our minds as we study that we might be effective for You. Bless our time together as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pass out the prayer sheet. Any other questions or comments on